Well, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I'm glad you could be here tonight. I'm Dr. Todd Baker, leader of Shalom Shalom Messianic Congregation, a congregation that was started by myself and Zola Levitt back in September of 99 during Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles. So by God's grace, we've continued now for over 20 years. And so we're thankful for that, thankful for all of you in here who support us. Every single person in here supports this ministry, and I deeply appreciate that, believing in the vision of this ministry, according to Romans 1:16, taking the gospel first to the Jewish people in the land of divine destiny. And so we appreciate that. Well, we're going to forego some of the infomercial information that we do every week because we want to give our speaker, our guest speaker, the most time he needs. And, of course, Dr. August Rosato, you guys know him. He's my partner over in Eretz Israel on the outreaches that we've gone on. He's been accompanying me over there since 2005. And by the grace of God, we will be going back in the latter part of October for what will be this ministry's 52nd gospel outreach. And we're excited about that. August also does tours to Israel through his ministry Today and BibleProphecy.org. If you're interested in going on one of those tours, I think you can still sign up for the fall tour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, it'll be in September, so I highly recommend you do that. As I've said repeatedly, August has an encyclopedic knowledge of Bible prophecy. And what better place to study Bible prophecy than the land of Israel, which will be a central location and the Jewish people's central players in end-time Bible prophecy, leading to, of course, the second coming of the Lord Jesus to Israel. And so consider doing that. I'm sure he'll talk more about that. But let me just give you his curriculum vitae. August Rosato is the founder of Today in Bible Prophecy Ministries, and that ministry has been ongoing since 2003. He graduated from the ZLM Institute of Jewish Christian Studies in 1996. He graduated from the King is Coming College, the late Dr. Ed Heinsohn from Liberty, in 2012. And he earned a Doctor of Theology from Anchor Theological Seminary recently. And he's been married to his lovely wife, Patty Rosato, for 31 years. They have 3 grown children and 10 grandchildren. So, yeah. So anyway, this is your third time to speak here or second?
Third time, I guess.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to give him all the time that we can. And tonight he will be speaking on the relevant subject of why a two-state solution will not work. The idea is that it's been proposed and promoted for roughly 4 decades, that Israel should be chopped up into little parcels of land and the Palestinians should have a section, leaving the Jews and the borders of Israel indefensible. You simply cannot do that. It's for many reasons. And he will give you the cogent and inarguable reasons for why a two-state solution will not work by trying to carve up Israel into two binary countries. It won't work. And, of course, you've heard me talk about that before, but he will bring it all home to you tonight. So without further ado, come on up, brother.
Yes, sir.
And we'll set the microphone up for him. He was going to do a PowerPoint. Unfortunately, you know, a gremlin got involved and threw the whole thing out of whack. So, but he knows his stuff, so
thank
it'll
you.
Be just as good. Just put that in there.
Yes. I think we got that there.
Audio's
good to go.
Good to go, brother.
Thank you, Dr. Todd Baker. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. We'll get this settled. Great to be back at Shalom Shalom. So Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
To all of you, so excited to be back here with each and every one of you. As Dr. Baker said, the PowerPoint just isn't cooperating today, whether through that projector or through the TV screen here. So we apologize. I love the show PowerPoint. But we'll have the Word of God, amen? The Word of God's better than PowerPoint. You know, just this past Sunday, I was speaking at Gatewood Baptist Church in Garland. We were there all day with them, and we have some good friends over there. They say, every time you're in the area, August, give us a call. We want you to come and preach at our church. And this is what the pastor told me, Brother Moreno, Jose Moreno. He says, we just don't hear enough Bible prophecy anymore. Right. Nobody's talking about the rapture anymore. Nope. No one's talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus. No one's talking about the establishment of the kingdom. And this is what else he said, Todd. He said, and also I'm really disturbed that the doctrine of the pre-tribulation rapture of the church is under attack. Say, by who? Unbelievers? No! By believers! The pre-tribulation doctrine of the rapture is under attack. And you know, what brings to mind last year when Sue, you and our late dear brother, Robin, who's home with the Lord right now, I preached on the pre-tribulation doctrine of the rapture. And after the service, Brother Robin came up to me and he said, you know something? I've denied that for the longest time. He said, but you brought it home. You brought it home to me today, August. Amen. And he says, I now strongly believe in this doctrine that we call the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And that is just a blessing hearing that coming from Robin. And so I do appreciate each and every one of you. Great to see Brother Kenny G. It's been, the last time we were in Israel was 3 years ago? Longer than that, right? Three, four years ago or so, I'm not sure. But wow, 6 years already. It's a long time, 6 years. And then, of course, great to see Timmy and Michelle. And they're coming to Israel with us, Lord willing, in the fall. Amen. And praise God for that. And right now we have two more people just signed up today. So right now, as it stands, 22 people. But I just heard from our tour agent, Gideon Lebb. He said August would probably raise in toward about 27 people coming on this trip. That's still somewhat of a small, you know, tour. And I'll take that any day. And we might even hit 30. We don't know. But there's still time for you to come with us to Israel. We'd love to have you come. Let me teach you Bible prophecy on location, or eschatology. Don't let that word scare you off. Amen. It just simply means the doctrine of last things. And I'll teach you Bible prophecy on location, not just in Israel, but east of the state of Israel, just east of the Jordan River, the Hashemite kingdom of Jordan. You say, well, why would you want to go to Jordan? That's an Arab country. Let me tell you something. Jordan will also play a role in the end times. Based on my reading in Isaiah chapter 16, verses 1 and 4, Isaiah 26, 20, Isaiah 63, 1 through 6, Revelation 12, 6, Revelation 12, 14, that will be the location for the surviving Jewish remnant when they will be sheltered by God for the last half of the 70th week, or the last half of that 7-year period of tribulation. So we'll be at two places in Jordan. We'll be in North Jordan at Mount Nebo. You all know what happened at Mount Nebo, right? That's where Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our teacher, that's where Moses viewed the promised land. He died at Mount Nebo, was buried at Mount Nebo, Deuteronomy 32, 49, and 50. Then we'll get in our tour bus drive all the way south to Petra, where the surviving Jewish remnant will be held up, as I just said. So we'll be teaching you prophecy on location in both countries. So if you want to come with us, let me know at the end of the service. I'll tell you exactly what you need to do. So for the sake of time, I want you to take your Bibles, and let's go to the book of Ezekiel, if you will. I was really hoping to show PowerPoint, but that's just not going to happen tonight. But as I said, we have the B-I-B-L-E, amen? We have the inspired, inerrant, authoritative word of the living God. I do appreciate Dr. Baker inviting me to come and speak. Looking forward to going back to Israel after our fall prophecy tour. We'll go back to Israel with Todd. I've been going with him since 2015, and I really enjoy going out there and sharing the good news with the Jews. Amen? Because I want to see the Jews in the pews, but in order for the Jews to be in the pews, the Jews need to hear the good news of Chabesara. Amen? And so I am looking forward to going back and sharing the gospel of Yeshua HaMashiach with the lost sheep of the house of Israel. All right, Ezekiel chapter 37 is where we're going to be at. And as Todd said, I want to talk about why a two-state solution will not work according to Bible prophecy. So let's go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 37, looking at verses 15 and 20, if you will. Ezekiel 37, and we'll be looking at verses 15 through 20. And the Word of God says this, Ezekiel 37, beginning at verse 15. The Word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou Ben-Adam, son of man, take thee one stick, and write upon it for Judah, Yehuda, and for Bnei Israel, the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one, echad, in thine hand. And when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, Wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, or his companions, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in thine hand. And the sticks wherein thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. Let's just have a brief word of prayer. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, God of Israel, the God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God and Father of our Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Father, I pray that you would speak to us tonight, Lord, despite these technical difficulties, these things that get into all of this technical issues, Lord, help us, Heavenly Father, tonight to have a better understanding of what the Jewish prophet Ezekiel was writing some 2,700 years ago. We know, Lord, that you have your own two-state solution in mind, and it will not involve what the world wants today, a Palestinian state. That simply isn't going to happen. You already have, Lord, two states that will one day become one in your hands. So, Father, help us to be attentive tonight. Bless those watching via live stream across the United States. And we want to give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. For it's in the precious name of Messiah Yeshua we pray. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. So, we got the Jewish prophet, Jeremiah 3:18, as well as the Jewish prophet Ezekiel. Both these Jewish prophets, they see a time in the future when God will take two nations, Judah and Israel. And what is he going to do? He's going to make them echad. You know what echad is? One in the hand of God. And we know that in the past, Israel was under a united monarchy. This was during the reigns of the kings of Saul, David, and Solomon. Amen. The nation was united under the rule of those three kings. After the death of David's son Solomon, his son Rehoboam, as you know, succeeds. He goes to the throne. And when he comes to the throne, you all know what happens, right? There's a split within the kingdom. It turns from a united monarchy to a divided monarchy. And you know, I hear this all the time, and I'm really getting sick and tired of this, okay? This is what I hear. We don't know the exact date that the Jewish people left Egypt. Yes, we do. As a matter of fact, hold your place in Ezekiel. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 6. And verse number 1, I want to point something out to you, okay? If anybody ever gets in your face and they tell you we could not know the exact year that Israel left Egypt, you need to take them to 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 1. 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 1. I mean, it's right there. It's as plain as the nose on your face, amen? And I'm going to read 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 1. And it says this, And it came to pass in the 480th year after the children of Israel were come out of the land of Egypt, Mitzrayim, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month Zif, which is the second month that he began to build the Beit HaMikdash. He begins to build the house of the Lord, the first Jewish temple. Now notice the numbers here. Solomon begins to reign 480 years after the children of Israel came out of Egypt. And yet the Bible tells us it's the fourth year of his reign. So, according to a lot of Bible scholars, Solomon begins to reign in 971 BC. So the fourth year would be 967. You do the math on that. You take 480 plus 967. Do you know what number you come up with? 1447, the date of the Exodus. Are you with me? The children of Israel leave Egypt in 1447 B.C. It's right there, folks. 1 Kings chapter 6 and verse number 1. Taking 480 plus 967, 1447, the year of the Exodus. So if anybody tells you we can't know the exact date of the Exodus, it's right there in the Word of God. The problem is we just don't study anymore. Right, 2 Timothy 2:15. Whenever I'm in churches, I always say this. I make the pastors cringe. I say, I'm going to use a filthy word behind this pulpit right now. Oh, yeah, brother. I'm going to use a dirty word behind this pulpit. And I can see the pastor sitting here. I can see his foot tapping. Oh, yeah, his foot tapping. And I said, listen, if you have little kids in the audience, you might want to block the ear. I actually see parents blocking their kids' ears. Come on, like, I'm going to use a cuss word behind it. And I said, you ready? Here we go. Study. See the pastor. We don't study anymore. We don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth. Why? I'll tell you why, Dr. Baker. We're getting our doctrine from Christian TV and Christian radio. Bad. And you know that there is so much heresy out there today. I don't get my doctrine from Christian TV or Christian radio. If I'm going to watch Christian TV or listen to Christian radio, at least I want to make sure the person's a biblicist. The only person I would watch on Christian TV today, and he just went home to be with the Lord, Dr. Ed Heinsohn. I graduated from his school, the King Is Coming College, with a diploma in 2012. And this is what Dr. Heinsohn said before he died, with his family surrounding him. Patty and I watched the live memorial service from Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg. And this is what he said to his family before he went home to be with the Lord. He said, if you're going to teach prophecy, keep it simple. That's what he said. If you're going to teach prophecy, keep it simple. And that's what I want to do. I want to keep it simple for all of you. The Bible says it was the fourth year of Solomon's reign. That would have been 967 B.C., added to 480 is 1447, the time of the Exodus. Rehoboam comes to the throne, okay? And he's not following in the footsteps of his father. When Rehoboam comes to the throne, his irresponsibility and rejection of the wisdom of the ancient elders led to the kingdom being split at 931 B.C. Folks, I'm talking 36 years after the death of King Solomon. The people of Israel come up to him and say, listen, Rehoboam, when your father was alive, he really made our labor, really heavy. It was burdensome. Listen, now that you're king, can you sort of like lighten our load? He's like, let me see. I'll tell you what. Come to me in 3 days. I'll give you the answer. Okay, we'll come back in 3 days. He goes to the elders of Israel. Hey, guys, what do you think I should do? You served under my father. What do you think I should do? Hey, listen to the people, Rehoboam. Lighten the load of the people. If you lighten their load, they'll listen to you, man. They'll serve you. Okay. But then he goes to his three young buddies that he grew up with. Hey, guys, how's it going? Hey, what do you think I should do? Don't listen to them. Listen, you're the king of Israel. What you say goes. If I was you, I would just add extra burden on their workload. Okay, well, I'll think about it. 3 days later, the people of Israel come to Rehoboam. What's your answer, king? Here's my answer. My father chastised you with whips. I'm going to chastise you with the tail of scorpions. I'm going to make your workload even heavier. What was that? Exactly, it was dumb. What? There was a split within the kingdom of Israel. 10 tribes going to the north with Samaria as their capital. 2 tribes going to the south, Judah and Benjamin, with Jerusalem as their capital. The 2 tribes were loyal to Jeroboam. The other tribes were loyal to Rehoboam. Jeroboam, the 10 northern tribes were loyal to Jeroboam the first. And when Jeroboam comes on the scene, he says, you know something? He said, I'm going to make these people follow me. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make 2 golden calves. One I'll set in the south in Bethel. Patty and I were at Bethel about maybe 4 years ago without a tour group. We went right to that area, and just like I tell Dan taught, where you and I taught, right there at Bethel, you can see the remains of King Jeroboam the first, his altar, where that golden calf was. Todd Baker and I went to Tell Dan. We did a teaching at Tell Dan that you can see on my YouTube page, where all of this happened. Where do you think he got the idea for 2 golden calves? Where did that come from? Exactly. Came back from Egypt. He took that idea from Egypt. So a united monarchy turns into a divided monarchy. The northern kingdom had 20 kings. 20. And not were righteous. Not a single one. They introduced paganism, idolatry, just absolutely wicked. Just like a lot of modern churches today.
Thank you.
Just like a lot of modern churches, bring in worldly entertainment into the church. Todd has sent me videos in the past of pastors coming down from the top of the roof on zip lines. I've seen it. When he told me about it, I couldn't believe it at first until I actually saw the video. It's entertainment that sells. It's not a hermeneutical science of biblical interpretation of preaching the Word of God. People today in the 21st century church, all they want is entertainment. These pastors are coming down off of zip lines. The stage has all of these laser shows and smoke and fog and all these other things. It's all about entertainment. It's not about studying the Word of God. It's not about approaching the Word of God for its plain sense interpretation. Listen, if the plain sense makes sense, don't look for any other sense, or you're going to end up with nonsense. And when it comes to Bible prophecy, oy vey, there's so much nonsense out there today. As Dr. Dave Reagan would say, August, he said one of the most abused doctrines in the church today is the doctrine of Bible prophecy. They abuse it. They misuse it. They misinterpret. They try to make a mountain out of a molehill. Todd, you can do that when you write those books. You can make a mountain out of a molehill. Sell a whole lot of books. And so could I. But if I do that, God have mercy on me.
Yep.
I just want to teach Bible prophecy, folks, for its plain sense interpretation. The southern kingdom of Judah. They had 21 kings, and only 8 of those kings were righteous. Only 8 out of 21. But despite these 8 righteous kings, the southern kingdom, just like the northern kingdom, had a whole lot of issues going on. Amen? With the northern kingdom, God sent Jewish prophet after Jewish prophet after Jewish prophet. They would not listen. And the same with their sister Judah in the south. God sent Jewish prophet after Jewish prophet after Jewish prophet. They simply would not listen. And let me tell you something. God in His grace, G-R-A-C-E, allow the northern kingdom to go on for its 208-year history. They still wouldn't listen. God was left with no choice but to send Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, to take the northern kingdom into captivity in 722 B.C. Took them right out. And then God looked at her sister Judah and said, if you don't smarten up, the same thing is going to happen to you. They would not listen. There was nothing but rebellion, unbelief, idolatry, paganism between both of these kingdoms. And God was left with no choice but to send Nebuchadnezzar and the king of Babylon to Jerusalem and destroy it. But God in his grace allowed the southern kingdom to go on for 344 years, a little bit longer than the northern kingdom, but they wouldn't listen. And then again, God was left with no choice but to destroy the southern kingdom, take them back into Babylon for how many years? 70 years. Why? Leviticus 25:3. They were violating the sabbatical years every seventh year until it reached 70. God said, now you're going to keep my Shabbat the hard way. And allowed Nebuchadnezzar to come in, destroyed Solomon's temple, took the Jews back to Babylon. All you got to do is read Psalm 137. What were they doing by the rivers of Babylon? Down by the rivers of Babylon, yea, there we wept when we remembered Sion, when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willow trees. How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. You should have listened to God in the first place. You wouldn't. Just like the north, they wouldn't listen. You didn't listen. Both these kingdoms come to a tragic end. But the southern kingdom of Judah returns. Amen. 539 BC. Think about it. God raised up a pagan king by the name of Cyrus. Think about this with me for a moment. This guy was prophesied by God 150 years before he was even born. Can you imagine that? God even knew about the Jewish prophet Jeremiah before he was even born. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Same thing with this pagan king, Cyrus, 150 years before the guy was even born. That's Isaiah 44:28, Isaiah 45:13 through 19. He tells the Jewish prophet Isaiah, I'm going to raise up Cyrus. He will deliver my people. And based on our reading in Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, Cyrus did exactly that. Destroyed the Babylonian Empire. That's in Daniel chapter 5, by the way. Destroyed Babylon. Allowed the Jewish people to go back to Jerusalem to build the second Beit HaMikdash. The second Jewish temple. And yet Cyrus even returned all the temple treasures back to the Jewish people. The same temple treasures that defiled, he returned back to the Jewish people. Now they're building the second Jewish temple. And by the way, let me just throw something at all of you here tonight. Dismiss this from your mind and reject anyone that tells you that there are lost tribes. There are no such thing, that's right, Brother Ed, as lost, that's right, tribes. I don't know how I know that. I just read my Bible. I didn't get my doctrine from Joe Schmo at the Holy Land Experience in Orlando, Florida. By the way, you know what they sell in their Christian bookstores out there? The Christian-friendly Quran. I'm not making this up, Brother Timmy. How do I know that? I was there with another pastor preaching at his church in Orlando. We go inside the Holy Land Experience because he's never been there. He wanted to see the replica of Herod's temple in the first century AD. So we go in there. We're going through their bookstore. I'm like, preacher, look at this. He said, what? It was a Christian-friendly version of the Quran. I went up to the man. I'm like, why are you selling this in your store? Oh, you're going to have to talk to the manager about that. Oh, so you just work here. Pass the buck, exactly. I'm like, this should not be in this store at all. When I opened it up, it had nothing but Quranic verses in there so that we could have a better understanding of Islam. Listen, I had a better understanding of Islam on 9/11 in 2001. That's all I needed to learn about Islam. Second, you might want to write this down. Second Chronicles, chapter 30, verses 1 through 10. The godly Hezekiah, one of those 8 righteous kings of the 21 kings of the southern kingdom. Hezekiah is now on the scene. He's ruling Judah. He reinstitutes the Passover. And guess what tribes are present in Jerusalem for the Passover? Those northern tribes. They were there. 2 Chronicles 30, 1 through 10, and verses 25 and 26 names those northern tribes. And yet, it tells us in 2 Chronicles 30 that they came back from the Assyrian captivity. So there are no such things as lost tribes. You go into these Christian bookstores today, they have lost tribe books. I'm sorry, folks, but I cannot see myself walking into another Christian bookstore again. I just can't. You say, well, why? This is me, this isn't you, but this is August Rosado. The heresy that's in there is absolutely unbelievable. If you're not getting this heresy from TV, you're getting this heresy from some of these Christian bookstores. There are no such things as so-called lost tribes. Oh, by the way, at the birth of Jesus Christ, right? There was a prophetess, not a prophet, a prophetess. Anna was a prophetess, right? Can somebody tell me what tribe Anna was from?
Asher.
Asher. Wait a minute. If those tribes did not return back to Jerusalem as the lost tribites are trying to cram down our throats, what's she doing there? She is of the tribe of Asher. Asher wasn't a southern tribe. Asher was a northern tribe. Oh, by the way, Yeshua, Matthew chapter 10, verses 5, 6, chapter 15, verse 24. You know what he said? I come to the lost sheep of Beit Israel, to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. You can use Israel in one of three ways: to describe Jacob, Genesis 32:28, to describe the two southern tribes, or all 12 tribes. You can use the word Israel in those three ways. She was of the tribe of Asher. And by the way, Paul the Apostle in Acts 26 and verse number 7 says, our 12 tribes. They were present back in the day. And Paul made reference. He didn't say they were scattered all over the world. America isn't the lost tribe of Ephraim. That's one of the lies today. America's a lost tribe of Ephraim. The United Kingdom, Great Britain, is a lost tribe of Manasseh. People just love to make things up. I was going to show you this on the PowerPoint, but the United with Israel website reported this. The two-state solution is nothing more than to destroy Israel.
Yep.
That was from the world. That's not a Christian website. That's not some prophecy website. The two-state solution to destroy Israel. This is what they said. When politicians talk about a two-state solution, a majority of the Palestinians are saying that they support the Islamic Hamas in Gaza, the terror group, and they want to see the destruction of the state of Israel. It went on to say the lie is living under the illusion that the two-state solution, which would see the establishment of an independent and sovereign Palestinian state alongside Israel, is the only way to achieve peace, security, and stability in the region. Let me tell you something, folks. That doesn't work. Hey, give up the Gaza Strip, and guess what you're going to get in return? Peace and stability. You know what Israel got in return? Rockets! And they still see rockets coming from the Gaza. Oh, if you pull out of southern Lebanon, you'll have peace with the Lebanese. No, because we all remember that 34-day war between Israel and Hezbollah. Hezbollah is Arabic for the Party of God, established by the Iranian regime. And by the way, Putin just went to Iran and met with Ibrahim Raisi, the Iranian president, as well as with Recep Tayyip Erdogan, the president of Turkey. Three major players in Bible prophecy. Russia is God, Ezekiel 38 and verse number 1. Meshach, Tubal, Ezekiel 38, 2. Gomer, Togomer, Ezekiel 38, 6. I saw a replica of an ancient Turkish map in Istanbul. You'll see the same thing too in our pit stop over there. And right on the replica of that ancient Turkish map, I saw the names Meshach, Tubal, Gomer, Togomer. That is Turkey. Let me rephrase that here. They no longer call themselves Turkey. It is now Turkey-A. They don't want it associated with the American holiday of carving a turkey on the table. So they changed it from Turkey to Turkey-A. So that's the new... I just spoke with a Turkish guy who's a believer, by the way. He goes to Gatewood Baptist Church. He said, I'm from Turkey. He said, I got saved about 5 years ago. He said, we don't call ourselves Turkey anymore. Now it's Turkey-A. He said, yeah, I know. But three major players in Bible prophecy that will attack Israel sometime after the rapture of the church. The vast majority of Palestinians, however, make it abundantly clear that they do not believe in the two-state solution and would rather see Hamas, the Iranian-backed terror group, whose charter calls for the elimination of the state of Israel. Man, that's out of Psalm 83, verse 4.
Yep.
Let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel be no more in remembrance. You know what that reminds me of? The former president of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. And this is what he said. We Muslims must rise together and destroy Israel that their name may be forgotten forever. That's almost verbatim.
Yep.
Of Psalm 83 and verse number 4. And even on the eve of Biden's visit to Israel, Judea and Samaria, don't call it the West Bank. I hate that term. It's not the West Bank, it's Judea and Samaria. And hate that word, Palestine. And if I counted correctly, 2,566 times in your Bible, God calls the land Israel. Let's call it what God calls it in His Word. Israel, I will fight for you. But on the eve of his visit to Israel and Saudi Arabia, a public poll was conducted by the Palestinian Center for Policy and Survey. Research indicated a significant drop in support among Palestinians for a Palestinian state side by side with Israel and would rather embrace terrorism. Oh, peaceful people, right? Okay. According to the results of a poll, opposition to the concept of a two-state solution stands at 69%. Another set of respondents also expressed opposition to the idea of a one-state solution. We don't want to live side by side with Israel. We want to see the Jews driven into the sea. Let me tell you something, folks. God has His own two-state solution in mind. When you give away more land to these people who don't want to see you exist, all you get back in return is terrorism.
That's right.
When are we going to wake up and stop drinking the stinking Kool-Aid? These politicians, it's like trying to talk to a brick wall. They try to give up more land, give up more land, give up more land, and all the Jews get back is, it doesn't work! And yet when Biden visited Mahmoud Abbas, also goes by Abu Mazen, this is what Biden told Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority. This is what he said. Right now is not the time for Palestine to have their own country. He was livid. Absolutely livid. I want you to go with me. We're going to tie it all together. Jeremiah chapter 3. Go to Jeremiah with me. Just back up a little bit, okay? Did something go wrong with the video there? Wow, that's all I get is Amber Alerts. What was it? 4 a.m. last night there was an Amber Alert? That's all we get is Amber Alerts. Oh, my stars. Okay, Jeremiah, look at this. Jeremiah chapter 3. Look with me in verse number 18. This is parallel to Ezekiel 37, 15 through 20. Listen, you always apply inductive Bible study. You compare Scripture with Scripture in order to ascertain more information. Parallel to Ezekiel 37, 15 through 20 is Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 18. I'm going to read Jeremiah 3, 18. This is what it says. In those days, the house of Judah, Beit Yehuda, shall walk with Beit Israel, the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given for an inheritance unto your fathers. You see what he's saying right here? One day the house of Israel will walk with the house of Judah. How is that going to happen? Jeremiah said, Ezekiel says, God's going to take two sticks, right? On one stick, right, Judah. On the other stick, right, Israel. Take both sticks, join them together. Both sticks become what? Echad. Both sticks become one. Both will walk together. And do you know when this is going to happen? In the millennial kingdom reign. The Davidic theocratic reign of Yeshua the Messiah from Yerushalayim. Jerusalem, the holy city. And I have a number for the duration of that kingdom. Didn't come from Todd Baker. Didn't come from me or some guy on TV. It's from the scriptures. That kingdom will last for how long? Give me a number.
1,000.
1,000 years. That's Revelation chapter 20. Verses 2 through 7. Listen. It doesn't tell me once, twice, three, four, five, but six times. Jesus will reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years. And even today, Todd, Christians have a problem with that. What's up with that, man? You know what they call themselves? A millennialist. Or a millennium. In the Greek, you put the letter A in front of a word, it negates that word. I put the letter A in front of millennium, no millennium. Oh, you shouldn't take Revelation chapter 22 through 7 literally. Says who? You? There is no rhyme or reason whatsoever to allegorize Revelation chapter 20 to say it means something else. God says what he means, and he means what he says. Amen? The Bible is its best own interpreter. And if you're going to go on this tangent of spiritualizing and allegorizing, you're going to get into a doctrinal mess. Especially in the area of Bible prophecy. Despite the southern and the northern kingdoms returning, there never was an official reunification. But there will be in the kingdom to come. And I read, Dr. Baker, 38 passages in the Old Testament that speak of Israel's original land grant. Israel only possesses 10%. Of what God originally gave her. You want to know what rightfully belongs to Israel? Let's see if I can remember them all, okay? This is what rightfully belongs to the Jewish people. Here we go. Half of Egypt. All of Israel. All of Lebanon. All of Jordan. All of Syria. Three-fourths of Iraq. Three-fourths of Saudi Arabia. That all belongs to the Jews. And there are 38 passages in the Word of God that teach that exactly. It all belongs to the Jewish people. Right. Do they possess it now? No. But they will possess it in the kingdom to come when one day the house of Israel will walk with the house of Judah. Two sticks.
Amen.
Becoming one. God has his own two-state solution in mind. And it does not involve a Palestinian state. Just to clear something up here, Dr. Baker and I and nobody here are anti-Arab. Just one day in March, brother, or in June, we didn't even witness any Jews. Yep. All we did was share the gospel with Arabs.
So we're pro-Arab when it comes to the gospel.
Exactly. We are pro-Arab when it comes to sharing the gospel of Yeshua. We put a complete Hebrew Bible. They can read Hebrew too. We put a complete Hebrew Bible in their hands. An Arab gospel tract. So just in case anyone says, well, August and Todd are anti-Arab, that's baloney.
Amen.
Hey, I believe in John 3:16. And everybody can quote John 3:16. For Hashem, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Salvation is sufficient for all but efficient for those who call upon the name of the Lord. What's my definition of all? All means all, and that's all means. Calvinists, wake up! All of that land belongs to the Jewish people. In closing, God has his own two-state solution in mind. And it's not going to involve any Arab state. Sorry, it's just not there. That's why even Joe Biden looked at Mahmoud Abbas and said, right now I don't think we should talk about a Palestinian state. It's not the right time. Of course it isn't the right time. Of course it isn't the right time. Everybody's getting an Amber Alert right now, right? You just got to love it. You got to love it. I'm telling you, folks, Bible prophecy will be fulfilled when all the land grant is restored Amen. To the Jewish people. All that land I just quoted to you, those 38 passages in Scripture. That means the stage is being set. The actors are getting into position. The curtain is about to go up on the end time drama. The next event that we call on God's timetable, the rapture of the church. Yes, I still believe in the doctrine of the rapture Amen. Of the church. Amen. And you know something? Paul said, not August Rosado, Paul said, don't be ignorant when it comes to the rapture.
Amen.
Nobody talks about the rapture anymore. Nobody does. What I do today, the churches I speak at all across the United States, where my ministry is based, the trips I take to Israel, I owe it all, first of all, to God. Secondly, to Zola Levitt.
Amen.
And whenever I come here to Dallas, what do, Todd? I visit Zola's grave every time I'm down here. Because that man taught me so much. He talked about the rapture. He defended the pre-tribulation rapture.
Amen.
Pre-millennial. And yet these guys on TV today are not even talking about the rapture anymore. But Paul said, don't be ignorant about the rapture. Before I blow my own horn. I love to toot my own horn, amen. But in a good way, though. I want to quote to you 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. For I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, like Zola, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump, the shofar of God, and the dead in Messiah, the dead in Christ shall rise for us. Then we which are alive and remain, caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words.
Amen.
If we were going to go through any part of the tribulation period, Paul would have never said to comfort one another.
That's right.
He would have probably said something like, find the nearest cave and hide under a rock.
Exactly.
Call Jim Baker for survival supplies or whatever. I don't know. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. But no. Oh, and by the way, Yeshua said in John 14:1, what did he say? Let not your... See, in New England, they say hot. Here, you emphasize the R. It's heart. Let not your heart be troubled. Well, how do you know the trumpet is a shofar? I can't just read your Bible, man. Joshua chapter 6, verses 4, 5, 6, 8, 13, 5 times. The priest blew the trumpet of ram's horns. Shofar. This is a Yemenite shofar. This is a biblical shofar. The ram's horn. And that shofar will sound from heaven, and it will be so loud, all the dead in Christ rise first. 6 feet further to go, but they go first. And then we, which are alive and remain, pow, caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord here. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Put your ear hole on. We could hear that shofar,
Amen.
Even tonight. Come up, Hitler!
Amen.
And drink the human eye. Bye-bye. See you later, world. Nice knowing you, not. He's going to take us to the Father's house. Amen.
Amen.
And when he takes us to the Father's house, we will be in heaven for, help me, for just a brief 7 years. Gotcha. While the earth below is going through a what?
Tribulation.
7 years. Called the 70th week of Daniel's prophecy. Dr. Baker has books there. I have a book on there when I've talked about the 70th week of prophecy. It's going to happen, folks. But it can't happen until you are taken out at the rapture, which is the reason why we need to win the lost at any cost in the day and age in which we live, in Israel and here in America. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to once again come to Shalom, to be with all of our dear friends. What a blessing it is to see all of our friends here tonight. I'm blessed. I'm encouraged. And I know Todd's encouraged as the leader of this congregation. Father, it's my prayer tonight that everything that was said, that we would take with us, Lord, apply it to our very lives. And to help us, dear God, to be soul winners. To be, as we would say in Israel, shalachim. Ambassadors of Yeshua in these last days in which we live. I believe, Lord, we're running on borrowed time. Jesus could return at any moment. Help us, Lord, to keep looking up, knowing that our redemption is drawing so very near. Father, we thank you for what you are about to do now. And Lord, whatever little time we have left, help us to redeem that time, knowing that the days are evil. May you now be glorified, Lord. In Messiah Yeshua's name we pray. And all of God's precious people said,
amen,
amen and amen. Dr. Baker, do you have any last words there?
Yes. Folks, what a great teaching. I think August's sermon illustrates the fact that God keeps his word. We tell Israelis when we go over and share Habesara, the gospel, we tell them three things.
Yeah, as I was saying, August's great teaching tonight illustrates what we tell the Israelis when we go over there, that three things are true. Israel proves three things. Number one, the God of Israel exists. Number two, he keeps his promises, right? And number three, he is trustworthy.
Hey.
Folks, if you'd like to support August's ministry, I highly recommend it. You can go to todayinbibleprophecy.org. Check out his ministry webpage. He has his books for sale there. He's written on biblical eschatology 1 and 2. He wrote a chronological commentary on the book of Daniel, and I was privileged to write the foreword to that. He's also written on the revived Roman Empire, how what's going on with the EU is embryonic or a precursor to that final 10-nation confederacy that the Antichrist will come out of to rule the whole world. So again, thank you for being here. Thank you, Brother August and Patty. And Lord willing, you'll be back next year here, right? Okay. All right, folks. We're glad you could be with us tonight. Lord willing, we'll see you next Shabbat at 6 p.m. And until then, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus, the Messiah, be with you.